Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's Neighbors of Hope's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning. I'm Pastor Stephen Palmer, Executive Director of Neighbors of Hope, and we're glad that you could join us again for this edition of Word Made Flesh, our local radio ministry. It's Neighbors of Hope's way of trying to help impact the well-being within our community, so we thank you for listening. On today's program, I have with me a couple of our staff members, our team members, Wellness Director Tim Ruppel and our Men's Residence Manager John Stefanski. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Before we went on the air, Tim, you had a topic that you thought might be appropriate, particularly as this is the Sunday before we kick off the Lenten season of 2021. And I'm sure a lot of our listening audience are eagerly awaiting for Tuesday when everybody gets their punchkes, right? Then we'll get serious on Wednesday. But I thought your topic is appropriate as we prepare ourselves for the Lenten season and in the spiritual reflection and contemplation we all should be engaging in during those 40 days. So you want to share with our listening audience maybe what your thought is on our topic and take it from there?
Yeah, definitely. I'm just kind of reflecting on, a quote from Henry Nouwen. It's about forgiveness. God's forgiveness is unconditional. It comes from the heart that does not demand anything for itself. And to me, that kind of really struck because we here at Neighbors of Hope, we work with a lot of the hurting people, some of the most vulnerable people in our community. And a lot of times what I get from them when they're starting to do really well is like, why won't my mom talk to me still? Why won't my sisters talk to me?
Right.
You know, like they're clinging for love from their family, and it's hard to really go through those topics with them because I don't know the answer all the time because I don't know their family and I don't know the situation that really happened. But I just kind of really talk to them about it. Really a lot of it's forgiving themselves, and they can't hold back and wait for other people to forgive them. You know, they can ask for forgiveness, but they can't force that upon somebody. And so with that though is thinking about our own forgiveness and people in our life that we should forgive. You know, and the idea is, do we hold them to a standard that's maybe not even, they'll never reach?
Right.
You know, do we tell them that, I'll forgive you and let you back in our family if you complete X, Y, and Z? You know, we put these stipulations on it. And the question is, if we're followers of Christ and we believe in our Father, He doesn't put those standards. He loves them no matter what. He loves His son and daughters no matter what, unconditionally, without any expectation that they're going to even continue along with that, that they're even going to do what they said they were going to do. And I think that's the thing is, I don't think we can put these expectations on people because we don't always follow through with what we say. Sometimes things come in our lives that disrupt it and things will happen. But we should still love them and we should still reach out to them in times of need.
Good. You got anything you want to ask?
I think about the forgiveness that's been granted to myself over the years. There's been tons of it. Several people in my life that I've wronged and caused distress and pain and suffering, and you know, it's and then ultimately I think of God and. I don't deserve His forgiveness, but how awesome is it to have that feeling of being forgiven, you know, and just even know, you know, I struggle with it because I know I don't deserve it, but He does it every time. And
can I interject?
Sure.
Because we hear that quite often with some of the men, and I'll say, well, and that's kind of a popular phrase within the Christian circles.
Unmerited favor is God's grace and mercy, and we don't deserve. And I would say, well, that's true and only true if we're speaking about our actions. Right? I don't deserve God's forgiveness or grace because of what I've done, anything I've done, good or bad. Right? Because you have to have the antithetical as well. I can't say I don't deserve God's forgiveness because I've been a bad boy. Because the equal or the opposite can be as equal. I deserve God's love because I've been a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like Santa Claus.
Right.
Right? If you've been nice, you get presents. If you've been bad, you get coal. Right? No, because that's not God. All right? We do deserve God's forgiveness, grace, and mercy, not because of what we've done, but because of who we are. As Tim was saying, if we're beloved children, and God has least wrongly understood his love, that is why God loves us. That's why God forgives us. That's why. So it's my ontological reality. It's my truest, deepest identity of who I am. And I think, all right, to kind of piggyback on what you were saying, Tim, isn't that what's missing?
Yeah.
It becomes hard to forgive because we forget where we are and who we are. All right? It even becomes hard to accept forgiveness because we want to self-punish. In other words, it becomes hard. Forgiveness becomes a very hard act if I am not centered in the deepest, truest reality that I am loved. I may not be loved by mom or dad. I may not be loved by my wife. I may not be loved by my children. I may not be loved by the boss. The people who put on the if-then, right? If you stop drinking and drugging, then I'll love you. Because then it comes back to, right, to kind of what you're saying. If you stop being a criminal, if you stop cheating on your wife, if you stop this, God says, then I'll love you. If you go to church, if you, right? We have to do these things in order to get God's love. So you can't, if God loves us unconditionally, then we have to rest in the truth of why God loves me unconditionally and forgives me because of what my deepest, truest identity is. When I am centered and strengthened in that truth, that frees me to forgive others.
Mm-hmm.
And it also frees me is I don't need you, right, to love me. I am loved.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense, or am I?
Kind of no, it definitely yeah. does.
I
think that's the thing is like, I think it's really more about, you know, a lot of the work I try to do and things like that is really working on self forgiveness. More than focusing on the forgiveness of other people, because you don't know what that you can't have any expectations that they'll ever forgive you. We can't force that forgiveness. They may never even be around. So, but the thing is we want that forgiveness so bad, but we have not really fully forgiven ourselves. We haven't really processed that love for our own self inside.
Yeah, amen. I mean, that's exactly what I'm talking about. If we are centered in the deepest truth of our identity, that I am loved by God.
Yeah.
All right, that I'm a God, then the forgiveness of self really becomes an act of self-respect. I respect myself because of that reality.
Mm-hmm.
And when I respect myself of that reality, I then can forgive self.
Mm-hmm. Which is really owning.
Which then opens me up to going, all right, you know, let's say mom, dad, you don't want to forgive me. Okay, I love you too. Mm-hmm. See, I'm not dependent. I'm no longer dependent on that forgiveness. Now, granted, there are times when it comes to reconciliation, if we have injured others, we need to seek, right, and admit fault, take responsibility, those types of things. But the wellness of my life, if it's properly centered, is not dependent on whether or not you do or don't forgive, because I already know I am.
Yeah.
And because I know I am, and I'm not dependent on that, that actually allows me to love you.
Yeah.
Right? So I think you're absolutely right. Forgiveness itself is really an act of self-respect. And we can't respect ourselves if we don't even know who we are. Thus, if we don't know who we are and we're not properly centered, we will
eagerly, right, and sometimes even violently, right, seek out the love from the other in order to fill that.
You hear people say it all the time, you know, if you can't, it's kind of on the flip side, if you can't take care of yourself, how can you take care of anybody else? You know, kind of the same concept, you know. If you can't forgive yourself, how can you forgive somebody else? You know, but you have to understand where that forgiveness comes from. Mm-hmm. And like you were just saying, knowing that you're loved, you know, and how I deal with my struggle with feeling that love is, you know, I think of my own daughter, you know, it's like, she could... I'll always forgive her, you know, and I think that's how God sees us, you know. Mm-hmm. He will always forgive us.
Yeah. And I think we do have to put a note in there, too, like, we're not talking about forgiveness in the sense that you forgive somebody and you completely let them fully in your life to harm you again. Like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about this idea. It's a starting point. Sure. It's a starting point of about, one, looking at yourself and deeply inside yourself and making sure you've forgiven yourself and you feel loved within yourself, but also letting go of starting this process of healing with that other person, you know? It doesn't mean that relationship and barriers shouldn't be put in place for protecting yourself, you know. It doesn't, you know, like, I just want to make that apparent because I know some people may think, "Oh, I got to just forgive and let him back in my life, give him everything." No, that's not. No, we don't want that. That's not. I'm gonna be helpful for anybody.
But we have to
start looking deep inside. Do we want to live the rest of our lives in pain and hurt from, you know, and holding on to that pain or that maybe somebody else has caused us. You know?
We definitely want to make note of that. Forgiving should never be equated with excusing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You forgive the person, not the action. We all need to be held accountable for our actions. There's no excuse. Right? God's no different. God, in a sense, forgives us as people. But with, you know, we have the free will to decide, you know, come to certain decisions, have certain actions. But there are consequences of all that. And even some of our decisions may lead to minor, some major sense of failure or shortcoming. Doesn't mean God stopped loving us, but that doesn't, all of a sudden, God's forgiveness doesn't necessarily get us out of the consequences that come with that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately that forgiveness is that step towards the ultimate reality of reconciliation.
Yeah.
Which is what you said. That's a healing process.
Yeah.
And we can get to reconciliation, doesn't mean the relationship's ever going to be the same. Right? Parents can forgive their children who have hurt them, but, you know, let's just say within our experience, you know, oftentimes men who come to us have substance use, addictive behaviors, and usually what's a primary consistency within those behaviors is you tend to hurt the ones who are closest to you first, right? In other words, they tend to rob for mom and dad first, right?
Mm-hmm.
you got an extra 50 in the purse there or something, right? We got to go score. And that, over time, all that multiple injury becomes quite compounded. And they may say, "Well, I love you. You need help. But because of the impact of your injury on us, we can't have you in the house anymore." Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Mm-hmm. Right? That doesn't mean mom and dad don't love the son. Mm-hmm. That's no different than God saying, you know, "I love you, right? As you are, not as you should be, but that doesn't mean I'm going to leave you as you are."
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's going to be some change. We call it transformation and what have you. So I think parents can forgive, but the child, the son or the daughter, are still responsible for the consequences of their actions.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those are, "You can't come to my house anymore."
Mm-hmm.
All right? I mean, sure, God loves you, and you have the free will to commit all kinds of sin, but that doesn't mean God says, "Okay, accepted, Mm-hmm. No, I still love you, right? But we're less likely to commit those acts of injury towards God or others if we are deeply centered in that ultimate identity and reality that I am loved by God. And then we become a little more self-respectful. And out of self-respect, we respect others, we forgive others. And next thing you know, we're reconciling relationships. And it really becomes a more peaceable community. And you have healing, healed relationships. All right. Very good, gentlemen. Thank you very much for participating on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and joy be with you all.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include our men's ministry and women and children's ministry, our social enterprises, Blessings and More Resale Store, Woven Hope and Recycling Center, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and this radio ministry program, Word Made Flesh. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.